This week in PlayStation, we're talking about Tim Getty's Spider-Man 2 impressions. We'll have all this and more because this is PS I Love You XOXO. Yo, what's up? I'm Blessing. That's Tim. That's Andy. And this is PS I Love You XOXO, your weekly PlayStation podcast that you can watch live on patreon.com/kindoffunny, except not today because we're doing a cool embargo thing today, or later on podcast services around the globe. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code kindoffunny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/PSILY to write in with your questions, PSN messages, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Brave Athos, Jedi Master Deadpool, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money and DraftKings Sportsbook. But let's start with the topic of the show. Hi, Andy. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
Really good.
Pretty good. It's pretty good because I can see Tim's face again. He's back.
I've been gone. In Los Angeles, California, playing Spider-Man 2, Marvel's Spider-Man 2 on the PlayStation 5.
And you can finally talk about it.
And it feels good. Oh. I can't wait to tell you guys about this game.
So that's full. It's terrible. You guys aren't ready for
waste
this.
The money of a trip.
So that's why we're skipping the preamble. We're skipping the warm-up. We're getting right into the topic of the show. To let people know we're not talking about the state of play this episode. State of play happened yesterday. We did live reactions yesterday. We're doing a KFGD today to talk about the state of play. But because we're in the past, we haven't seen the state of play, so we can't talk about the state of play. We're just going to talk about Spider-Man 2.
Good.
Tim, you went to LA.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it. How much Spider-Man 2 did you get to play?
I got to play about 2 to 3 hours of Spider-Man 2. It was a lengthy demo, and it was a very good demo. I would go as far as saying one of the best demos I've ever played.
Oh.
I feel like in terms of what they showed, I was sufficiently impressed with it. And I was impressed with the variety of it, of how many of the different types of gameplay elements we're going to see in this game. As both Miles and Peter, how they're very similar, but also very different in terms of their combat and even traversal. But overall, I had a fantastic time with this game. I do think it is the thing we just got to get out of the way. It's more Spider-Man. That's what mm-hmm. this is. And I think that that's going to make a lot of people extremely happy. I don't know what else they would expect going into this, wanting something else. But if you didn't like the other Spider-Man games, I don't think that this one's going to win you over.
And also, who are you? If you didn't like the Spider-Man game.
Exactly. There are people out there.
Yeah, reveal yourself.
But I honestly feel like the best thing I can say about Marvel Spider-Man 2 from what I've played of it is it reminds me a lot of the jump from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 to 3 or a Super Mario Brothers 3 to Super Mario World, where it is the same type of gameplay. It is a very, very similar game. It's just ratcheted up. It's just prettier. It's just kind of refined. Like, this game is the Spider-Man gameplay refined way further than we've ever seen it before. And I feel like that's in terms of the momentum of traversal, in terms of the variety of the side quests that you're doing in the open world, in terms of the characters and stories that they're building out there. It just feels ratcheted, refined in a way that, like, we kind of would expect from an Insomniac. But me mentioning Tony Hawk and Mario there, those are two examples of games that had that next-gen leap, right, from PS1 to PS2 or from NES to SNES. Even a Legend of Zelda to a Link to the Past type vibe there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're getting this here, and it feels like a PS5 game.
So I think for me that brings me to my biggest question of, we've already had sort of a semi-sequel to Spider-Man 2018 with Miles Morales, right? And even that, you know, I think in our conversations around that, the idea of, oh yeah, this is kind of a spinoff, this is kind of a different thing, this is almost like a half iteration title because it's shorter and all these things. But even with that game, there are things that you could point to be like, oh yeah, this is the next step though, right? Like, they're giving Miles this different sort of moveset, they're refining a lot of the stuff here. There's also the fact that this is a PS5 game, so you have the performance mode and eventually the performance ray tracing and all that cool stuff. Does this feel like an even bigger jump from Spider-Man 2018 to Miles Morales? Does this feel like something that deserves to have that 2 on there?
I was surprised that the answer is yes. Like, I feel like in the ways that it uses the DualSense, I was super impressed. Like, there's, I mean, the DualSense was awesome even in Spider-Man Remastered and in Miles Morales, but there's one little bit where you go into this, like, reactor, and you have to, like, get some little thing back in place so that, like, the reactor doesn't explode or whatever the hell is going to happen. And as you're going through, you get to this little thing where there's, like, different, like, magnets that you need to adjust. Yeah. Oh, this is perfect. B-roll right here, Barrett. Thank you. Right. This is exactly what I was about to talk about. There's these little bars with the L2 and R2 that you need to kind of get the icons in the right place on these rectangles. And when you first look at it, you're kind of like, oh, okay, cool. And you just, like, hit both of the triggers, but then you realize it's pushing back on you because it's the magnet. Mm-hmm. You feel it, and you need to hold the triggers in the right place to be able to hit it. And the feedback it gives, it's that perfect next-gen controller experience that you want to see and that we don't see too often in a lot of the games that come out. But
that was a shiny dumper there, by the
way.
Oh,
yeah. The Venom dump is there's a lot of rage.
Looking like a ham on Thanksgiving morning, yes. Man.
But I was really impressed with just how solid and premium the experience felt with the haptics and the vibration of the DualSense. To the point that I don't remember Miles Morales blowing me away with that stuff in the way that, like, a Returnal, like the sounds of all that did, or Astrobot just in pretty much every way. But I would say that this was more similar to an Astrobot experience for me, where the DualSense stood out as a plus playing Spider-Man 2. And I feel like that is kind of what you were talking about of, like, does this feel like a 2? Again, it is just more Spider-Man. But, like, to me, that's the best thing ever. And I feel like the next-gen stuff is kind of just how fast it all is. Like, the fast travel, I mean, remember in the first game, there was the subway system. Fast travel in this, it's just fast, baby. Like, I feel like so much of the refinements here and what makes it feel like a sequel is just the stuff that worked before. But we're always like, we could see where the improvements could be. The improvements are there now. Like, when you fast travel, it is essentially instant. And you can just choose where you want to on the map, and it just goes, the camera kind of zooms out, zooms in. Very GTA 5, but just lightning fast. And it feels very satisfying to see the move actually happen. And it's cool that the game seems to want to get away from the concept of, like, towers and the more old school open world approach that the other games had that are very the Ubisoft form.
Yeah, like,
right?
Standard, like, all right, let's slowly open up this map, and, like, that's the first thing you focus on is, like, all right, let me make sure I got all this stuff unlocked and then start clearing things out from there.
Open world 101. So
yeah,
exactly. It's really kind of taking a lot of what we expect and just repackaging it in a way that feels fresh. So it's focusing on, like, filling out the districts and getting percentages of those districts done to be able to add more points of interest and do more, which sounds very similar to how they did it before. It's just the way it's presented feels more seamless. Like, the open world feels a bit more, and specifically when you're talking about the menus and the maps of it all, it's presented in a way that doesn't feel as checklisty. It feels a little bit more like just a natural experience and seamless between the gameplay and going out and looking like what you need to do. And one of my favorite things about the Insomniac Spider-Man games is there's a narrative that's really good with characters that I am actually invested in. And when the little lore radio shows pop up, I want to hear what they have to say. And it feels like there's an impact to it and that the world is living. And every time you turn it on, the crime's happening. And even though it's kind of pre-programmed, it feels like it's this bespoke thing that's happening, and, like, it's a Spider-Man simulator in a lot of ways, right? And I feel like Spider-Man 2 has really surprised me in a lot of ways that if you remove yourself from playing this, you'd be like, oh yeah, that was how Spider-Man 1 was. But then you go back to Spider-Man 1, and I was in, which I did last night, and I was like, oh my God, like, so much of this feels archaic. So it's a weird thing where I think that people are gonna play Spider-Man 2 and be like, oh, it's just more of the same, but really, it's extremely different. One of the biggest ways for me is in the first game, there's the backpacks that are hidden all over the place, right? Or there's the all the different collectibles.
How's this kid affording so many backpacks is my question.
That's a great question, you know?
Allowance.
There's still those type of things in the game, but instead of it being a pull up a menu and kind of see the checklist of where they all are, you're kind of drawn to them a bit more naturally in the world. And some of it is, instead of, like, looking at a menu and then going in, you're just swinging through the city and, like, there's a big glowing orb in the sky, and you're like, okay, well, clearly that's something. But like, it video gamifies it a little more than Spider-Man 1 did, but in a way that I feel like keeps the action of you moving through the city instead of having to pull up a map and like break the fun of the momentum of a Spider-Man game. And just like exactly this little orb that he's in here, you can see there's these little spider bots that are all over the place that you can kind of collect that get you the tech parts that let you do the upgrades and all of that stuff. But similar to the other games, but maybe even more so, I'm on my way to the next story beat and I want to know what happens and I care so much about these characters, but I'm seeing four different things that draw my attention and I'm like, yeah, well, I gotta get that before I move on. And I feel like that's kind of the fun of the loop of Spider-Man. And having platinums both the other games and like playing a lot of these of Spider-Man, playing this, I was like, I cannot wait.
Hell
do
yeah.
Every single thing possible in this game.
Now, Andy, you requested specifically to be on this episode of PSLV XOXO. What's your biggest question for Tim coming out of this preview?
I think one of my bigger issues with the original Spider-Man video games had to do with how alive the city felt and how much of it just felt like set dressing with a lot of faked aliveness along with side missions, right? Like all that stuff started to get a little bit monotonous. I wanted to know, like, when you are on the ground floor, what are the differences in this game? When you are walking around, is it just the same old NPCs going, hey, Spider-Man, taking a photo with
do
you?
Do a backflip.
Are you able to, are there any buildings that you can actually walk into where it doesn't do that weird fixed camera thing and you kind of walk in like this weird sort of orthographic view? Is the ground life a lot more realistic feeling?
So, I will say yes. I don't know by how demonstrable of a degree, but I will say that Spider-Man 2018 compared to Miles Morales, I feel like Miles Morales tripled down on the character of Harlem, right? Of being in there and seeing like how the Christmas affected the city and being able to see like the actual local storefronts. And it just kind of felt more alive, if not even in the people, but just more in the set dressing of it, not just feeling like a bunch of buildings next to each other, but actually feeling like the district itself had an identity. I noticed a lot more of that in this game, kind of just applied to all of Manhattan, but then even more so, the moment that you get to go across the bridge over to Queens was special. It felt like, you know, I've been playing these games for 5 years now, and when you get near the bridge, you get near the water, it gets kind of awkward and you like can't go any further, but like you see the bridge. And I remember playing like Grand Theft Auto 3 for the first time.
Verrazano Bridge.
You get that moment where you get to like go across the bridge and it's like, there's more of this game. The map is double the size in Spider-Man 2.
Let's go.
And
yeah, I guess one of my questions also was any of it closed off from you in the demo?
No. It was pretty open. And they set us off, I don't know how far into the game, but it felt deep enough that it was definitely not the beginning. Peter had the suit to start, the symbiote suit. And I played probably equally as Peter and Miles, maybe a little bit more Peter of it all. But what's really cool about this game compared to the other ones is you do play as both. And there's a lot of kind of prescribed story missions where you have to play as one or the other, and there's like cutscenes that kind of tee it all up. But then when you're in the open world, you can switch back and forth between them. And they're both in different areas.
Is it GTA 5 style where you switch and then like Miles is in the middle of doing something?
Mm-hmm.
He's like pushing somebody over a bridge.
He's in a dress.
He's riding on a motorcycle down the highway.
Don't say shit, all right?
I imagine there will be things like that. It feels like they're setting it up for that. I didn't get to see that in particular. In fact, I was a little bit surprised that the demo didn't show off that stuff more explicitly. There's a trailer that we got to see that I think is now out for everybody to see that does get into a bit more of the systems and how this all works, and you get to see the fast travel and the switching. We didn't actually do that in the demo, and I don't know why, because I feel like that would have been a really cool talking point. But I think they just wanted to focus on the kind of prestigeness of the whole thing, where a lot of what I'd play, I'd say, was like 70% like the core main mission stuff, and 30% more open world where I get to do whatever I want. I did a couple side quests. I don't want to spoil anything, but there was a couple that literally like made my jaw drop. Like,
oh,
I saw something that like I was like, this is freaking awesome, and I can't wait for everyone to see it. A couple things, actually.
I love that. Like, make these worth it. Make me want to do the side quests and not have them be just trophy hunts, you know?
And I do think it's maintains being one of the funnest trophy hunting games. There's a lot to do. From what I experienced, it seems like there's a bit more variety in terms of the crimes breaking out, but it is still Spider-Man, right? It is still, like, a lot of the same type of, like, I was finding a guy, got on the van, had to go and hit him on the windows and stuff. It felt fresh. It felt like new animations. A ton of new animations in this
awesome.
Game. I feel like that's something that, like, even, like, just the poses that they make.
Oh, how was the wingsuit?
Dude, I'll get to that in just a second.
Was that, like, the Captain Falcon? Not Captain Falcon. Was that the
Falcon?
The Falcon's wingsuit? That looked so very similar.
God, there's so much to say about this game, man. But just sticking on the switching between Peter and Miles thing, there are different side quests and things that are only available to one or the other, depending on what their stories are. Like, all the locations and characters, like, obviously us playing the other games, it's like 2018 was so tied to Peter and Aunt May and that cast of characters. And then the Miles game really got intimate with, like, building out his community and all of his friends and Genki and his mom and those characters feeling so, I feel like, great. And playing this, going back and forth between Peter and Miles and their side characters felt like watching Infinity War and having Thor and the Guardians kind of meet up, where it's like, yeah, we knew this was going to happen eventually, and it just feels right that it is. But to see it, it's like this, it feels upped. And that's why I think it's cool that the Spider-Man 2 of it all, the Miles cast of characters is so integrated into Peter's life.
Hell yeah.
That it
love that.
There's always interesting things going on where it's popping back and forth between Miles getting this story stuff. And again, what I loved so much about 2018 story-wise was how much it focused on the Peter Parker of it all, right? Mm-hmm. It's a Spider-Man game, but, like, they cared about Peter. This Miles clearly cared about Miles and his family. And as much of the story is them out of the suit as in the suit. And I feel like the way they continue to kind of just knock that stuff out of the park, it's fun now getting this added dynamic that we've had from Miles Morales being a smaller game, that now getting the bigger treatment. And something that I didn't expect is conversations between Miles and Harry and what their dynamic sounds like or can be. And it got me really excited to think about how everything is going to either connect or not connect, because playing the game felt like, we said this when we were playing Final Fantasy 16 at the preview a couple months ago, like, it kind of feels like playing through seasons of a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like playing through a season of a really good Spider-Man show, where it's like there's an A plot, B plot. They do connect sometimes, and they have very individual vibes to them that I think fit the tone of what we've seen so far from the Insomniac with these characters in these games. But it also feels like a natural progression forward of what Peter and Miles' dynamic is, and especially how it's being affected by the whole Venom of it all.
So in getting to check out the different boroughs, how was swinging through them, right? Like, I always think back to Spider-Man Homecoming, where there's that scene where he's, like, running through the neighborhoods and there's no tall buildings, and so, like, there's nothing for his web to stick to. Was there any of that? Like, I know that's been a big question for a lot of people.
Yeah, so the bit of Queens that we got to play, it feels very different than anything that we've had in this game. There is not tall buildings around. Like, there was such identity and personality to that area, and it did feel a bit more on the ground, melee focused, and it changed up even your combat. And then that's where there was a lot of walking inside building stuff, like walking inside houses and things. And it is still the, like, camera stuff where it feels a bit more like a Last of Us, like the opening of Last of Us, or like the opening of Guardians of the Galaxy, the game where it's like you're kind of just like walking around investigating different pictures.
More guided.
But you're in third person.
Yeah.
Like, over the shoulder, you're turning the camera.
Because
the weird camera thing I'm mentioning is, like,
you're like when you're, like, doing a side mission and, like, you, like, the fight goes into a cafe and now it's like a 2D
it's
fight
just like
in the cafe.
Fixed, yeah. It's like
No.
Camera.
It's not that. It's not that. It's just more like, you know, a close-up camera behind your back and, like, you're slowly moving. You can't run around. It is,
even that's a big improvement.
Yeah.
Like, that's stuff that I was hoping for.
Miles had a lot of it, right? Miles Morales, the labs that you would go into, like the more inside, the smaller scale inside stuff. There was more of that than I expected.
But luckily, you know, the crane dude from the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, he brought all his, he was like, let's get all the cranes over there in the burrows.
Let's go.
Yeah. So the cranes aren't in the burrows, but the cranes are in the water. And the big set piece thing that we saw, the drone fight in the first Spider-Man 2, or not first, but like the big Spider-Man 2
trailer we got from the PlayStation showcase.
We got to play through that entire sequence. And it was exciting as hell. Like, it is the Uncharted for being dragged behind the Jeep type thing where your adrenaline's pumping. The way
music's
you're switching.
Going.
Music's going. You're switching between Miles and Peter at the perfect times. So damn cool. It was thrilling. And it was just the beginning. That is like phase one of a multi-phase set piece. The set piece is they're doing the damn thing.
Let's go. Man.
Yeah, what we have right here is close to where the demo actually ended for me, but it's a big boss fight against big old lizard.
Oh, by the way, is this your gameplay or is this
provided by PlayStation here.
Gotcha.
So
preview provided by PlayStation.
Yeah, provided by, yeah, thank you. I wanted to ask about, a lot of these, when we go to these press events, they'll sometimes say, we're dropping you in here and you're already leveled up and you have a whole lot of abilities. Was that the experience here where they kind of gave you a big tool set?
Yeah. Again, guys, there's so much to talk about with this game, and like it's so exciting. Real quick, I want to get back to that, but blessed to answer your question about the mobility of the things, wingsuit. It's a complete game changer.
Let's go.
It changed like what you're talking about, that feeling of swinging and the music swelling up and like how good it feels to just move around in this game. All of that's still there, but adding the wingsuit just adds. I mean, it's literally like adding the cape in Mario World, where you can get the balance down of what you're doing, and it just feels good to have this one extra way to keep going and keep the momentum you have. What's so cool about it is, again, this goes back to the video game-ness of this, where I feel like they made some decisions that were like, hey, we're going for real, but like, what if we just didn't and just made it more fun? Yeah. And it feels like they consciously made that decision multiple times. There's wind tunnels everywhere. You just see these like circles of wind, and if you go there, it's essentially fast travel. It just rockets you, and you have to kind of adjust to get in, but then you can kind of just like let go, and it just zooms you. And the first time you go across the bridge, there's like a wind tunnel under the bridge, and you kind of like wing down into it, and then once you get into the wind tunnel, you just start going at it. It was awesome.
Like, it sounds like what I want out of a Superman game.
It was so cool. Now, having said that, it similar to Spider-Man 1, when you first play it, you get the control in your hands. It is a little overwhelming. There's a lot of buttons to be pressing. It's a lot to remember of like, oh, how do you do the zip line to a point? Like, how do you do all that stuff? Mm-hmm. After like 20 minutes, it's second nature, and you're back, and you're like, I know exactly what I'm doing here. The wingsuit feels weird. Like, it does not feel how you'd expect it to, where it's very nimble, and it is very like you're controlling like a Star Fox, like a plane type game, but like, it's a little body, and like every little tweak you do, it's very like jerky. But then the moment you understand it, it adds so much more mobility, where the swings are like these big arcing movements. The wingsuit is nimble as hell, and it's like you use them in conjunction with each other to like swing, do a fast turn down an alley, and you can wingsuit down and get caught into one of the drafts, and it'll shoot you up. Like, it's just freaking cool as hell, man.
That's awesome. So Andy was asking about the upgrade stuff, and I want to actually layer another question on top of that, because of course I asked people to write in to kindoffunny.com/PSILY with all their questions. But before we even get there, I'll let you know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can go and get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors. Nitro writes in to kindoffunny.com/PSILY, just like you can, and says, are suit powers back? They weren't in Miles Morales. Did they ditch them for something else?
Ooh, that's a good question that I don't know the answer to. But I can say that the skill trees are very changed up from how they were before. There's a lot of them. A lot of different tech things to collect to be able to upgrade. A lot of this was stuff them just dropping us in. We were pretty powered up. There was a lot of ability points. It being open world, I was able to do a ton of the side quests to like get more to like deck my boys out. Miles has his own skill tree. Peter has his own skill tree. And then they have a skill tree together as a duo. Mm-hmm. Didn't get to upgrade that one too much, so I don't know what that's going to do. But when they are together, there are like specific tag team moves. They're
Kratos and Atreus type stuff?
Yeah, kind of. But even more than that, it feels more like a Limit Break in Final Fantasy type thing, where it's a big big animation happening, and like they team up and like make jokes together, and like it's
the hi-fi rush combos.
Yeah, exactly, that type of thing. So pretty cool.
When you said there's a lot of skill trees, are we talking a lot of categories to like this one is only for the spider bots and this one is only for rocket launchers, snipers?
Similar to the last couple Spider-Man games, like there's a lot of different kind of things you can upgrade and abilities you can upgrade and then suits you can upgrade and then this you can upgrade and like paths you can go down. Like there's just a lot of it.
Does it feel like you're going to complete it, or does it feel like it wants you to choose a lane?
It feels like you're going to complete it over time. I mean, I think through one playthrough, you
might
probably
do most of
a little
it.
Bit. Yeah, but I think that you are able to do it all over time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really, I think, expanded compared to the last couple games. And the costumes.
Yeah.
My God, there are so many of them, and each one of them has multiple colorways.
Oh,
that's awesome.
So it's like,
let's go.
It's literally, here's the 2099 suit, and then it's like four different colors.
That's the number one takeaway.
Dude, honestly, it was awesome, man. Like, I ended up playing Miles. The 10th anniversary Miles suit is in this, and it looks so damn sick. It's the one that's a little more like a hoodie slash cape thing going on. I just played as the normal Miles, though, but in a black and blue color scheme. It was like kind of funny blue instead of the red on just the normal Miles look, and it was fucking hot.
That's so
playing as Peter the entire time, it was the black suit Spider-Man that I was playing as, and I ended up being able to use the Raimi Spider-Man 3 look with the embedded webs and stuff, and it just felt right.
Like, did they have any other mentions about additional colorways similar to the way like Destiny does shaders? You get a shader and he's like,
no, it was just like four color schemes per suit, but like
still awesome.
They were good. Like it's awesome. There was like thought put into it. It didn't look like it was just kind of like, hey, here's like a palette and here we go. It's like, no, like they were designed. I was very, very impressed with it. And there's just so much. And like the fact that you got Peter and Miles, and like you get to choose their suits, you get to choose the color of their suits, then you get to upgrade them differently. And then of course that goes to the combat gameplay of each one of them. The combat system is the same as it was before, but I feel like it's just kind of like, it's cleaner. Going back to my Tony Hawk 2-3, Mario 3 to Mario World type thing. Like you see here, like the bottom left of the screen has the, like, it looks like face buttons. Mm-hmm. Our camera right now is blocking it, but it's matched on the right side as well. And yeah, thank you so much, Barrett. This is pretty much the UI for both of the characters, and it's very similar to the first two games where, you know, you hit L1 and it brings up like the wheel of which ability you want to use or whatever.
Yeah.
This just makes it a lot more like quick in the moment, where you're essentially holding L2 or R2 to, and then the face buttons to do these different abilities. With Miles, they are a lot based on the electricity and the shock stuff that he had in Miles Morales. And with Peter so far, it's all the Venom stuff. It's all the insane aggressive attacks you got going on.
I got a question in from Toasty06 who says, can you switch off the symbiote like in Web of Shadows?
No, I mean, not. So what we played was a bit more of the like story beat stuff. So you couldn't mess around with that. But I mean, it does seem like there's a lot that they weren't showing us in terms of like what the suit's going to do and how it's going to function. It was cool.
Another question on top of what you're talking about with the HUD stuff specifically. Cameron Kennedy writes in and says, hey y'all, how intrusive do the special ability HUD elements at the bottom of the screen, like we saw in the May demo, feel during combat? Do they still remain on screen throughout combat like they did back then? How unique do Miles and Peter feel from one another in regards to traversal? And is there anything that's not necessarily new but refined here that stands out? Thanks. That's one thing that I noticed as we were watching that gameplay, is that like you mentioned that, oh yeah, you look at the bottom, you have both those sort of like weapon or not weapon, like abilities for the Spider-Man. It seems a bit like, oh, that's a lot to have on the screen.
It's not once you stop looking at it and you can kind of just read it as like just something in your periphery. Like it's essentially like the active time battle system in a Final Fantasy, or like cooldowns in like a Kingdom Rush game or something like that, right? Where it's like you just want to see like how close you are to being able to like kind of chain combos together of like unleashing your.
That feels like Final Fantasy 16.
It really is. Oh, yeah. Final Fantasy 16 is the best way to put it. Like it's that thing where it's like you stop actually looking at it at a certain point. You just kind of feel it out, and you can see when it like finishes, and you're like, all right, cool. Now that one. Now that one. Now that one. In between the classic Spider-Man gameplay of like, you know, punching them up in the sky, swinging to hit them off. Like, I feel like not only was it not intrusive, I feel like it is just a refined version of what we already had. And it didn't ever get in my way. Having said that, there's a lot going on in this game. Like, it's Spider-Man. So it's like you're constantly like finagling with these buttons and you're fighting the controller at times. And especially in points of desperation where like you're on wave 7 of enemies and you're just like, how many more are there? Like trying to manage your health and like the healing and the focus and all of that stuff. So there is a lot.
Is there, were there any hints of the sneaking missions with like, were there any moments that you're like, oh, they're bringing this back. Hopefully it's improved in some way.
Yes. So a bigger section actually that I got to play focused on, and I think this is actually a good example of like the difference between the Peter story and the Miles story that's going on. Miles, they're really setting in on this. Like he is, like they are both Spider-Man. Like they make that very clear. Whenever they talk, it says Spider-Man. They just have a different emoji next to it. And it's getting into the conflict Miles is having of like the city needs Spider-Man, him. The city also needs Miles. And his community needs Miles and like what that means for him and how that's different than the tried and true story we've seen of that same thing for Peter. And part of it is there's this museum that his mom's friend is trying to like get this like cool like youth program going, but they're not going to get funding because of X, Y, and Z reason, whatever it is.
Capitalism,
and so like Miles
capitalism.
Has to get involved and like help out with that. And while that's happening, like the museum's getting a bunch of things stolen. And so it's like, then Spider-Man has to go save the day. And that kind of turned into a stealth mission, like we would see in the previous games. But instead of it being the sneaking around as Miles or whatever, it's a Spider-Bot thing. So you're going through, this felt extremely like, we've had Spider-Bot stuff in the other games, but this felt extremely like Clank stuff. In
yeah, no, this Clank, looks yeah, like, right?
Or
like stuff.
This is very Insomniac, or not even Clank stuff. They're, you know what I'm
the
talking
other...
about. Those things, there was a lot of that.
But yeah.
But what was cool about it is how kind of fun and interactive this felt. And it felt like a prestige version of these things. Like it felt like the production value was a little higher and like the acting and the characters that are like walking around that you're trying to distract felt more fun and developed than just kind of like generic thugs that you're trying to get around.
They took down Philip or something.
Yeah, it was better than that. Like, mm-hmm. And just a little bit. Like definitely my least favorite part of the demo was this stuff. And I think a lot of it had to do with the speed of the camera didn't quite feel right. So it's like, it was very jerky and like you had to go through and, you know, detective mode, see the pipes of get the power from this thing to that thing. And it's very like, all right, we've done this a million times before. It's never really that fun. And doing all of that, we'd get to the end of it and like people would see me or not see me. And so like that changed how like stressed I was or like, oh, just open it. And the finicky button presses of like, you have to hit triangle when it's lined up perfectly, it can just be a little frustrating as the Spider-Bot, where it just kind of like felt like not, it didn't feel good.
Now in Rift Apart, Insomniac allowed us to skip those missions.
Yeah.
Are these skippable or are these integral to
this
main plot?
This felt like you're not going to progress unless you do it. It also wasn't that long, but what's cool about it is this museum is like a music museum. So there was a lot of instruments around and like some of the ways that you distract some of the people so that you can get past them will be like shoot web at like a piano and it'll like react or like a drum kit and like it hits the bass drum and like they're like, what's going on? Like all that type of stuff. And it was cool because it felt very like interactive in a way that like wasn't just like, oh, clearly hit the one interactable thing and it will like they'll look at me like, what's going on? It felt like there was multiple ways I could have got through it. And like then I'm escaping, and there's like this like xylophone. That's what I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a xylophone, and your little spider guy's running, and you distract people, and you run on it, and it starts going as you go, and then they look over it. It's like, oh, it was like things like that. That like had I just went a different path, that wouldn't have happened.
Gotcha.
And it just feels like there's a lot of like care being put into like the small things of the world that help make the big world feel like you can kind of apply the logic of, oh, all this is going on in this museum. It makes it feel like, oh, all the other buildings have equal amount of things going on, even if they don't.
Speaking of the small things going on in the world, I got a question here from Shamir Mirza, who writes in and says, was there any mention of radio stations or music to listen to while swinging in the open world? I'm sure you've seen all the TikToks of Spider-Man 2018 swinging to music, and I just feel like it would be awesome to be able to do that in the game.
No, I didn't notice that. But like I was saying earlier, I was really happy with a lot of the lore kind of talky stuff going on of the different characters.
Is there Spider Twitter? Because remember in I think Miles or maybe it was 2018
Spider
also.
X.
Yeah, Spider.
I think they both had him.
They both had him?
Yeah. I didn't see that. But like you're talking to Genki a lot. There's like the little app that they have, like that's referenced a couple times. Again, I was like bounced between so many different things that stuff didn't stand out to me. But another mobility thing was, in addition to the wingsuit, which is really damn awesome, is just like there's a lot more ways to move around that aren't frustrating. Like there would be times in the other games where if you get near Central Park, you're just like, ah, shit. Like it's going to be a drag to get across this thing because there's just not much to swing off. Then you're awkwardly swinging off these trees, trying to catch another one. Like didn't really feel that good. Here, they know that, so there's like a lot of different ways in addition to the wingsuit that just kind of keep you going.
There's like a bunch of giant fans.
Honestly, it feels that way, but even like when you're on the water, like I don't know if you guys remember, but like swinging over the water, if you landed in the water, it was and you have to kind of like jump or whatever. There's just a lot of little things of like if you're swinging and you touch the water, if you have the right momentum, you kind of skim along the top of it, and Spider-Man's kind of like surfing, like. Those are like the animations that make this feel like, oh, there's a they've been cooking
dynamic as hell. Yeah,
it feels very dynamic, and I was so impressed by that because it felt new, it felt fresh, and it felt fun. It added to the like experience of it all, which I thought they did a really good job with.
Tim, can I hit you with a couple of loaded questions?
Oh, of course.
Right, these are gonna work in tandem. The first one comes from Gim Teddies, who writes in and says, Tim, based on your short time with the game, does it feel justified being a PS5 exclusive and not a PS4? And then another one from MattMan562. There's been a lot of talk about Insomniac being a studio that makes a lot of great games, but none of them are in that upper echelon. Did anything you see in the preview give you hope that this could be their first title to push into that tier? And I think what they're referencing there is like, you know, in PS Love, you have the conversations of like, oh yeah, when I think of S-tier PlayStation, I'm thinking Sony Santa Monica, I'm thinking Naughty Dog, and like Insomniac, I put more at the A tier, right? Like, that's the thing I've said before. Does this feel like a S tier? And then does this also feel like a, oh, this got to be a PS5 game?
So, this got to be a PS5 game. Like, I feel like, again, the fast travel, just how everything just works the way that it should. It feels good. It's beautiful. Like, it's just next gen. Like, all that stuff, I was like, yep, it's more Spider-Man on PS5. And they completely are delivering there. In terms of the other question, I think that, yes, that is a loaded question, and it's complicated to talk about because I feel like even though I don't think this is going to be that S-tier conversation that we're having, which, again, can mean something different to everybody, but, like, I personally see things like a God of War or a Breath of the Wild as a different tier than other games. And does that make them better? Yeah, but not necessarily. It reminds me a lot of a Best Picture nominee versus a Marvel movie. No matter how good an MCU movie is, it's just not going to be that. You know what I mean? And that's totally okay.
The subject matter.
Because it totally, like Endgame, Infinity War, these things that we love, they did it. They nailed it. Spider-Man 2's nailing it. Yeah. Like, I feel like I am happy that this game is what it is and is not doing something else. Like, I feel like they are delivering on every front of what they're trying to accomplish with this game. And I think the biggest part of that, like, to devil's advocate myself and make an argument for this being that tier potentially and like being a upped game, I do think that the character work and I think that the writing is extremely strong, and I think that's backed up by the fact that we've had two games now with characters that are interesting, and whether they're characters that we've known like Peter and May forever or newer characters like Miles and his extended group, there's I forget her name,
Mary Jane.
No.
Stacy.
The artist character that uses sign language.
From Miles.
Gloria. I think it is. Mm-hmm. No, it's not Gloria. But anyway, she was back, and she was like a pretty like core thing to the Miles story that I was getting, and I was like, this is awesome. Like this feels very.
Is it Haley Cooper.
It is Haley. Haley, and there was powerful stuff. Like her and Miles like having conversations. I was like, this to me feels like very good writing. It feels like it's pushing these characters in interesting ways. She's like an original character for this Insomniac world.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And they're like making great use of her. And I feel like it ties into the gameplay. It ties into the world that they're building of these Spider-Man games. And that's the stuff that I think is like, I don't want to write off as like, oh, it's just more Spider-Man and like, it's not as good as a God of War or Last of Us, whatever. I do think the character moments like are, and they have the potential to be as good, if not better than what we love so much about those other games. Like there's a lot of love and care being put into that stuff where it's, yeah, sure, it's like pulpy action stuff, but like there's real depth of the characters that we saw in Miles Morales. Like I feel like to me, this game is just the Miles Moralesification of Spider-Man 2018 running on PS5. And that's all good things to me.
Hell yeah. I think my final thing that I'll bring into you, Tim, is actually a Janet Garcia special. A couple years ago, Janet on PS Love You, during one of our previews, hit us with this thing called a rose, a bud, and a thorn.
Okay.
Right? A rose is something good that happened or something positive that happened from your preview. A bud is something that you're looking forward to seeing. And then a thorn is something bad that happened or a negative. This is an exercise that Janet would use when she was a teacher. And so I also credit the teachers that I assume are in Chicago. I think she taught in Chicago. I credit the teachers, but also Janet Garcia with this. So, Tim, give me a rose, a bud, and a thorn.
I mean, the rose was just how in I was. Like, playing 2-3 hours, could have been 10 hours. I would have been sitting there. And, like, they're delivering. They did it. Mm-hmm. So I put the controller in my hands. I put the headset on my head. And I was like, oh, my God, we're back, baby. Like, I literally can't say anything else besides that. Of, like, they did it. This game is going to be incredibly or completely confident, and they should be. Thorn is, I would say, it can be a little cumbersome and complicated. Like, the combat sometimes, it can be very button-mashy, and it kind of can be a little bit, like, I know what I'm trying to do right now, but the controller and like remembering what I need to hit, having the L1, R1 prompt pop up in the right place, it can get a little frustrating sometimes where for as like flashy and fun as the combat is, sometimes I don't totally feel like I'm in control.
Okay.
Not the worst thing, but I feel like that's true of the other games and it maintains true here. I do think that this is the best it's been so far though. Just even having the new HUD goes a long way.
And the last one is a bud, which is something you're looking forward to seeing.
I mean, this is going to, I think, mean a lot to the people that have been listening to us talk about this on Games Daily. It's the story and it's Venom.
Let's go.
I've been talking a lot of potential shit.
Venom.
Being like, hey, man, like Spider-Man stories are hard because we've seen them done so many times, good and bad. Venom stories, I think, are even harder because we've seen them rarely done well, often done poorly. And the things that we want from a Venom story are kind of corny. And it's like getting it right between Peter saying like, he has teeth. I do too. Hmm. It's like, is that cool or is that really fucking lame? And it's hard to get that right. And so far, I'm very surprised. I'm very into how they're dealing with it. The Peter stuff can be corny. We saw it in the trailers and it's like, this is fucking weird. But that's what it is. And I think contextually, I'm more excited than I worried because Peter Parker, Spider-Man, they're jokers. They're always out there saying stuff and like it's, you know, they make puns all the time, all that. You add like he's a little angry and evil now to that. Some of the weird things he says feel less like, ugh, he shouldn't be saying that, and more like, yeah, this Peter would say that if he was like juiced up a bit, you know? And so I think they did a great job there, but really for me.
You're really ticking me off.
Yeah.
You've crossed the line, buddy.
We didn't get much Venom, or if any Venom, actually, in this demo. But the interactions and setup between Kraven the Hunter, the Lizard, and you having the suit, I'm like, holy shit, y'all are nailing it. Like, I'm very, very into it. The demo actually starts in a church. And it's Peter being affected by the bell and the suit kind of coming off of him.
God.
And they start like dealing with all that stuff. But then it's him going up against Kraven, who has kind of set Kurt Connors off and turned him into the Lizard. Again, we get like kind of little passing things of like, oh, this is the second Lizard incident. Like there was one before. Of course, we knew because Spider-Man 1 at like the Halloween party, there's like a bunch of people dressed as the Lizard. But like, this is now like a souped up Lizard because of Kraven. And Kraven's like going out there trying to soup up prey so that he can really prove how badass he is. And it's like, come on, that's pretty fucking awesome. But yeah, there's like an Insomniac touch to it all that I feel like all of those story beats. I was talking to Brian Intihar about it, and he was telling me, he's like, oh, I've been hearing you talk about the Venom stuff. He's like, every time you say it, I just feel so good because I know we nailed that stuff. He's like, that the Venom, yeah, that's we got that shit, man. And so to me, awesome. Yeah, it's the Venom, it's the story stuff that I'm looking forward to the most because they are really impressing me.
Hell yeah. And any final questions for Tim?
No, just happy to be here, everybody.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here too. I'm happy that Spider-Man's right around the corner.
It is, man.
September, what, 20th?
October.
No, shut up. October.
October 20th.
Oh, not September, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's real close. And like, y'all, this is...
Sorry, I mean, it's shut up.
6 days away,
no,
Andy.
No, it's 6 days away. I understand that. It's like, oh, fucking mad. Why don't we have our review codes yet? We yeah. playing this thing.
There's a lot, man. This game, there's a lot to do. Everything I did was fun. I can't wait. Like, I'm going to want to platinum this game. Like, that's all. Like, I already know. And like, that's,
yeah.
I think, a very, very good sign. Love how next gen it all feels. It feels like they've earned this universe that they have, and it feels like now they're just having fun, which oh, yeah. I think is like a super, super great place to be. And in terms of like where we're all at with superhero fatigue and all of that, when things are done well, that doesn't exist.
Yep.
And this is done well so far.
Well, stay tuned for more Spider-Man 2 talk right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, right here on PSLW XOXO, and right here, well, maybe not here, but on the Gamescast and other shows as well. We're going to be talking a lot about Spider-Man as we ramp up to it. Remember, we're not talking about the state of play here, but you can go over and check out our live reactions over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and then also check out KFGD today, because that's where we're going to break down piece by piece everything announced at the PlayStation State of Play. A quick This Week in PlayStation for you. PlayStation tweeted out that a new PS5 system software update rolls out globally. You're getting new accessibility features, support for compatible Dolby Atmos-enabled audio devices.
Hell yeah.
Social feature enhancements, and PlayStation remote play support on additional Android devices. What's up, Tim?
I have one more Spider-Man thing I want to say that I can't believe I didn't bring up, because this is something that I was like, holy shit, this is freaking awesome. You know the stealth missions that aren't the Mary Jane and like Miles kind of like... Mm-hmm.
It's like the ones where you have to take out all the enemies.
The snipers and all that stuff, which are like super fun, and like they're built to be frustrating, where it's like...
It's my favorite missions. Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't ask about that.
Those are super... Like when they're done right, they're super great, right? But it's like sometimes on attempt 20, you're just like... Oh my God, like I just want this to fucking work and not to be seen and all that stuff. There's a new feature that I think is awesome where you can make a web line. So you can like choose a target, you shoot the web out, and it makes the tightrope, and then
that's
you can
awesome.
Tightrope yourself over to get in better positions to be able to stealth take down people. And it opened everything up.
I'm about to be going crazy.
So much,
missions.
Man. That was one of
that's the most exciting thing you said.
Coolest
I'm
new
very
features.
Excited.
And again, it just goes back to what I keep saying, which is, I feel like at every turn, they were like, what option is more fun to play? Let's just do that. Even if it's a little weird, like lore-wise or story-wise, and like it makes it a much funner video game.
Hell yeah. We got PS Plus Extra September lineup. You're getting Nier Replicant, 13 Sentinels, Civ 6, Star Ocean DF and INF, Snapper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2, Omnisphere, Leth Vassir, Unpacking, Planet Coaster. I put some sauce.
Yeah,
on
he did that.
I don't need. I don't know if that's the sauce that was needed for that, but that's what it looks like. Honestly, left right here.
You applied it, and I'm sticking down my throat. You
Let's
know?
Go. God, Planet Coaster, This War of Mine, Cloud Punk, Contra Rogue Core, Tales Noir, Call of the Sea, West of Dead, and then Paw Patrol. And then for the classic games on premium, you're getting Star Ocean: First Departure R, Star Ocean: Till the End of Time, Star Ocean: The Last Hope, and Dragon's Crown Pro. PlayStation picks, the drop this week looks like this. You're getting Eternites, Nower Play With Your Food, Super Bomberman R2, Axolotl, The Crew Motorfest, and Thunder Ray. That is it for this week in PlayStation. Y'all remember this. Has been PS I Love You XOXO, your weekly PlayStation podcast that you can watch live on patreon.com/kindoffunny or later on podcast services around the globe. Until next time, I've been Blessing. That's been Andy. That's been Tim Ma fucking Geddes. It's been our pleasure to serve you.